Okay, we're on Gemara Sota, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. We continue discussing more things on that day, Bo Bayom, as the Mishnah says, Darish Rabbi Akiva. Many, many laws were learned on the day that there was a change in the leadership in the yeshiva there in Bavel. So on that very day, now let's go back and review just what the Mishnah said, so we'll refresh our memories as to what the Gemara is going to talk about. If you recall, the Torah talks about the cities that the Levites live in, and the Torah says that outside the city, so there's two conflicting verses. One part of the Torah says that dealing with the boundaries that we measure 2,000 amos around the city. Another one says we measure 1,000 amos. So what do we? Why are there two different amounts? So the Gemara asks, how do we resolve it? So 1,000 amos is measured for the open spaces. There's an open space that's awarded to them. It stays open, not to be planted or anything, so it keeps the city beautiful. 2,000 amos is to teach us the fact that there's something called a Tuchum Shabbos, a boundary on Shabbos that you cannot walk beyond that boundary. Again, even if there is an Eruv in a city where you can carry in a city, there's another law of Erev Tchumim that means you cannot travel more than 2,000 amos outside of the city limits. So when the Torah says there's 2,000 amos around the Levite city, it's saying 2,000 amos you can walk in that area on Shabbos. You cannot go beyond that area if the open space is beyond that.
How big is an amos?
Right? An amos is approximately a foot and a half. So 2,000 amos, about a kilometer. It's about a kilometer. So you can go a kilometer outside of the city limits in all four directions. Half a kilometer remains open. No one does anything. No one builds, no one plants to keep the city beautiful. That was one way of learning. Rabbi Lovson of Yosef Glee says 1,000 amos is the measure of the open space that's there. And 2,000 amos is the measure of their fields and vineyards. The next 1,000 amos can have fields and vineyards. And it's not talking at all about the Tuchum Shabbos, about how far you can carry. So that's the machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, just a one-line piece of Gemara on this little part of the Mishnah. Gemara asks a simple question. B'mai komivlgi, in what area do they dispute? Why does Rabbi Akiva learn that the 2,000 amos is for the Tuchum Shabbos? While the other rabbi says, no, it teaches us that they could plant in that second 1,000 amos. The answer is, Mar Sover, one opinion holds, Tchumim Doraisa. Everybody agrees that you may not travel beyond 2,000 amos past your city. The question is it a biblical prohibition or rabbinic prohibition? Doesn't matter, you can't do it. But Rabbi Akiva says that it's a biblical prohibition. Therefore, we use the part where it says 2,000 amos to teach us biblically you may not go beyond the 2,000 amos. And therefore, that's all he learns. 1,000 amos, everyone agrees, is open field. Second 1,000 amos, Rabbi Akiva says that is the end of the 2,000 amos where the Torah prohibits us to go. On the other hand, the other rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Umar Sover, Durabonin, he holds the whole law of Tuchum Shabbos is rabbinic in nature. It's not biblical at all. So now we need something else to teach us what the 2,000 amos of the Torah is discussing. So it's coming to teach us that you may use it for your own private needs of planting and things like that. So it's a machlokes if Tchumen is Doraisa or Tchumen is Durabonin. And we paskin that Tchumim is dirabonon. Okay, that's...
But if it's biblical, or if one view is that it's biblical, then that means there's some focus as to what the Bible is actually...
That's right. But again, dirabonon means... Remember, whenever it says rabbinic, it doesn't mean the rabbis decided on their own. It means that Hashem also wanted it. When the rabbis will decide that it's prohibited, it's prohibited. It's not that the rabbis just pluck out of thin air to do it. They just realize, you know, not that it's Hashem's will that this should also be prohibited. And therefore, the rabbis say it's also not, it's not allowed. So it really, it's not going to make a major difference. All right, now move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. That was very quick and easy. Next part of the Mishnah. Tanur Rabbanan, the next part of the Mishnah discusses How, here's an interesting discussion, and hopefully we can remember it from 2 months from now. How did the Song of the Sea, how was it exactly sung, Moshe and the Jewish people? What is it that the Jewish people actually sung? You're going to say, what's the question, Rabbi? It says it right in the Torah, the whole section, Os Yashir. But you got to remember, did the Jews know the song? You know it because it's been preserved for 3,000 years. They didn't know it. So what are you going to say? So Moshe got it from prophecy. Okay, good. So how did they actually sing it? Obviously, Moshe was the one who introduced the words. So how did the Jews, so you're going to say it's like a chazan in a congregation, how did it exactly play out? To this, there's a machlokes as well. Tana Rabbana. So the rabbis learned the following. So the Brisa elaborates on what the Mishnah discussed. The Brisa, now that we're going to bring, elaborates a little bit more than what the Mishnah says. Bo Bayom, on that day, Dorish Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva expounded the following. He says, Vishah Sha'olu Yisrael Minayom, when the Jewish people came out of the sea, Nosnu Einehem Lo Marshira, they set their sights to sing a song. Now the question is, Veketzad Omru Shira, how did they exactly sing this song? So the Rabbi Akiva says, this is the way it was done. We'll go back to the way we do things in primary school. Kigodol, like an adult, Hamakre Es Hallel, who leads the Hallel reading for the congregation. Let's say you have people who are not very learned and they don't know to say the Hallel for themselves. So the leader says it for them. And obviously, imagine they don't have Siddurim. Remember, those they didn't have Siddurim. How many Jews knew the Hallel? Yet means you don't know Tehillim by heart. How many Jews knew Hallel? They didn't know it. So how would it happen if people couldn't do it on their own as well? He's saying the way that Hallel is done, that's the way they did it at the sea. So how is it done by Hallel? It says like this. It goes like this. Vehein onim acharov. The leader says the entire Hallel, but the congregation's response with him with what the Rosh Prakim, the chapter headings. We have to explain what this means. But remember, they were said by heart, the prayers were by heart. Not everybody knew how to do it. So one person would read the Hallel aloud for the other members of the congregation. When the reader was an adult male who was himself obliged to reading, the others would fulfill their obligation by listening to him responding, Hallelujah. When he would end up, Hallelujah, they would go, Hallelujah. All right? After each phrase, they'd say Hallelujah. Instead of Amen, they'd say Hallelujah. One could actually fulfill his obligation without responding based on a principle of listening's like responding. So even if they really didn't say anything, they would fulfill it, but they wanted to do something to be involved. For his customary to join in the refrain, for the purpose of intensifying the joy and the excitement of the recitation. If one chazan just says the whole thing, everybody's listening, it's not too exciting. If he says the whole line, they all go, Hallelujah! So he got 10 people answering Hallelujah, so it gives a little bit of oomph, right? Now, here's the point. The refrain, Hallelujah, is the first word in the first chapter of Hallel, and is thus referred to as the chapter heading. Right? The beginning of Hallel starts with the word Hallelujah. So this is called the chapter heading. When the other chapters were recited, the congregation would respond to the first phrase in each chapter by repeating that particular chapter heading and revert to Hallelujah in response to remaining verses in the chapter. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva states that in this is the manner in which the Jews sang the Song of the Sea. So now he's going to explain it to you. In other words, you looked at the opening line, and that became the chapter heading, and they would respond with that chapter heading. So let's see how it works. So in the Hallel, it works by saying Hallelujah, because that was the beginning, Hallelujah. So that's the chapter heading. So they would respond, Hallelujah. But they wouldn't say everything, they'd just say the word Hallelujah. So what was, quote-unquote, the chapter heading of the Song of the Sea? Well, what were the very first words of the Song of the Sea? Believe it or not, it wasn't the words, Oz Yashir, Moshe V'nei Yisrael, it's a Shira, because that's a narrative. The words, Oz Yashir, is not part of the song. The words, Oz Yashir, means, then they sang. What did they sang? The very first words of the Shira is the next pasuk. Ashira Lashem ki ga'o sus v'roch v'roma v'yom. That's the first verse of the Shira. It begins with the words, Ashira Lashem. So this is how it goes. Moshe Amar, Moshe started the first verse that says, Ashira Lashem, I shall sing to Hashem. That's the chapter heading. And then he would, you know, and Vehein Omrim, and they would respond to those words, Ashira Lashem, I will sing to Hashem. Now, Moshe goes on and now says the next clause. Moshe, what's the next three words? Ki ga'o ga'o, for he is exalted above the exalted ones. And what would they say? Go back to the chapter heading. What was that? Ashira Lashem, I will sing to Hashem. V'hayu omrim, and they would say, Ashira Lashem, I shall sing to Hashem. That, in other words, those are two words they can remember. You got to remember, it's lots of people there, lots of noise. So he just starts, Ashira Lashem! So they all go, Ashira Lashem. Now, okay, those two words they can remember. Okay, now guys, for the rest of the time, you just say, Ashira Lashem. I'm going to say all the difficult words. He starts going, he go, oh, go, oh, they got to hear so well, this and that. Ashira Lashem. So every time they would just say, Ashira Lashem, Ashira Lashem, Ashira Lashem. Because the song begins with the words, Ashira Lashem. That's called the chapter heading. Now, it's interesting, did that go on through the entire Shira? So he brings down the commentary of the Marsha, says that the songs divide up into two chapters. There's two chapter headings, there's two parts. And the heading of the second chapter is Micha Mocha Ba'eli Mashem. That's where the second half begins. That becomes the next chapter heading. So after every clause after that, they say Micha Mocha Ba'eli Mashem. According to Rav Kiva, only Moshe recited the entire song, and the rest of the Jews merely repeated the refrain. The Gemara below clarifies the scriptural basis for Rabbi Akiva's opinion. First, we have to know the machlokas. Then we'll see what the source is for this machlokas. So according to Rabbi Akiva, very simple. Moshe said the entire Shira is the only one who said the whole thing. After every clause, people would respond with the chapter heading, Ashira Lashem for the first half, and Micha Mocha Belim Hashem for the second half, according to the Marsha. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Eliezer ben Oshel, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, and he says it worked out a bit differently. Kekoton hamakri es ha-halel, the manner of a minor leading the hallel reading for the congregation. What's that? What if a minor is leading? If a minor is leading you, he can't fulfill your obligation because he's not an adult. Let's say the minor is the only one who knows it, though. So he reads it, but then everybody's got to read the whole thing. Because if you don't read the whole thing, you're not Yotze. What an adult is doing, and an adult can fulfill your mitzvah for you, but a minor can't. But let's say you have a case where a minor is the only one who knows it. So the minor is going to read it, but everyone's going to have to read it too. But they're going to have to follow him verse by verse. Vehein Omri Macharav, and they answer him, Kol Mashahu Omer, everything that he says. As I've explained all that. So now, how did it work by the Shira? Same way, even though Moshe was an adult, but they did it the same way. Moshe Amar Ashira Lashem, he starts off, here's the thing, Ashira Lashem. Vein Omrim, and they answer, Ashira Lashem. Now, Moshe says the next clause. Moshe Omar, Ki Ga'o Ga'o, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who said they'd say Ashira Lashem, says Rabbi Eliezer, Vein Omrim, Ki Ga'o Ga'o. They repeat, Ki Ga'o Ga'o, and so forth and so on. In other words, he said a clause, they repeated that clause. He said the next clause, he repeated that clause. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the entire nation repeated the song after Moshe one phrase at a time. Obviously, all the people could have discharged their obligation by listening to Moshe, because he was an adult, but they chose to repeat after him as a public display of gratitude for their salvation. So it comes out, according to Rabbi Akiva, they allowed Moshe to discharge their obligation, but they'd say the chapter heading in order to just be part of the whole experience. According to Rabbi Eliezer, they didn't have to say the entire Shira, but they did because they wanted to show their gratitude to Hashem. We'll have to see the sources for Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, but we're not done. There's a third opinion in the Braisa of how it went. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Rabbi Nechemia says, it's like, Kisofer haporeis al shma bebeis haknesis. This is a matter of a sofer here, means a cantor, a chazan, leading the blessings before the Shema in the shul. Now, a commentator says, like, literally like a school teacher. In those times, classes for young children were held in the synagogue, and the teacher was the constant presence there. It's often referred to as the chazan, but it's not really a chazan, it's the teacher. What would he do like this? V'hu poseach t'chila, he would begin first, v'hein omri macharav, and they would respond by saying the opening phrase after him, and then saying the rest in unison. What would happen? The chazan's recitation of the opening word signals the congregation to begin its own recitation, and each member then says the entire text of the blessings and the Shema along with him. Now this is by the Shema. In their words, the chazan begins, okay, he begins his own words, it signals the congregation to begin saying, everybody says the entire text of the blessings and the Shema along with him. Similar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Moshe began the song, he began, but he and the Jews then sang its entirety in unison. Wait a minute, how were they able to say it in unison with them? Rabbi Nechemiah maintains that the divine spirit rests upon all of Israel at that time, and every single Jew instinctively composed and sang the very same text as his brethren. So both would start the line loud, and they'd say the whole thing with him. Next line, he starts it out loud, they say the whole thing with him. Next line, say it loud, they say, so they did it all. So you have three opinions here. Opinion number one, Moshe was the only one who said the whole thing, like Rabbi Akiva, and they just said a refrain of Ashir Lashem. According to the second opinion, they would repeat clause after clause, so they said the entire thing. According to the last opinion, they were divinely inspired to say it all together with Moshe.
So these different opinions are all derived...
Well, now we're going to see. The Gemara is going to now ask. Gemara is going to ask, B'mai Kamifliki, what is the sources for their machlokes? Right? Obviously, that's very... Again, it's one of these difficult to understand machlokes, like what actually happened. Like what actually happened? Like we're arguing about what happened? Yeah, that's one of these difficult Gemaras to understand. So you can always say it could be, you know, it could be there were three different groups of people. Sometimes you could have, the simple answer would be there were some people had divine insight, so they knew what to say with Moshe. Then there could be others who were smart enough to follow and repeat after, and some people can't even repeat after. So you could just say there were three levels. But anyway, but what's it based? It's based on explaining the pasuk Oz Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael es Ashir Azos. And lay more. So, in other words, how do they learn that pasuk? Okay, the phrase "Vayomru lay more." Oz Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael. Vayomru lay more. What does "Vayomru lay more" means? And they spoke lay more to say. Now that's redundant. You say "Vayomru" or "lay more." This to they spoke or to say. Why do you need both? The Tanaim agree that the repetition indicates that the children of Israel did not sing spontaneously, but said the song after Moshe. However, they disagree regarding the manner in which they followed Moshe. So let's take a look at the three ways to analyze this text, which gives us three different ways to learn what they exactly said. Rabbi Akiva says, that word lay more, saying to say. Vayomro, and they said lay more to say. That word lay more, that extra word, is amilsa kamaisa. It's going back to the very first phrase mentioned afterwards, which is Ashir Hashem ki ga'ol ga'ol. Let's maybe take a look at a pasuk to make it a little clearer. Okay, this should be in chapter, let's try this. No, it's one before that. Here, right on top. Oz Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael es Ashir Hazos Lashem Vayomru Leimor. There it is. Now, so far that's not the song. That's not the song. It's the introduction. It's what they did. They sang and spoke, sang. Now, what are the words in the very next clause? Ashira Lashem. I will sing to the Lord. Ki ga'ol ga'ol, for he has triumphed gloriously. Sus v'roch v'ranov. Okay, so now, that lay more, according to Rabbi Akiva, what's it going on? So now let's go back to here. Lay more is going on Milsa Kamaisa. It's going on the very first phrase mentioned afterwards. I shall sing to Hashem. That's the very, lay more to say the very next clause is Ashira Lashem. Thus, they spoke to say means that Moshe alone spoke the entire song, prompting the children of Israel to say the refrain, I shall sing to Hashem repeatedly. The verse reads in its entirety. Okay, it has that. So now, let me show you how to look at that. Here we go like this. And they said, lay more saying, meaning the lay more saying is what the Jews said, they would say the words, Ashira Lashem. In other words, Vayomru, and they said, it's going on Moshe, who said the whole thing. Lay more to say is going on the next two words, Ashira Lashem. The Jews would to say, Ashira Lashem. Moshe said, Ashira Lashem, they'd say Ashira Lashem. He said, Vayomru, he said, Ki ga'o ga'o. Remember, if it, one person says it, everybody in mind, it's like everybody said it, right? If the person doesn't know, if I say it for the two of you, let's say, it's like we all said it. So the first word that says Vayomru, and they said, what do you mean they didn't say the whole Shira? No, but they heard the whole Shira. So it's like they said the whole Shira. Vayomru, they all said the whole Shira. How? By Moshe saying the whole thing and they listened to it. But the Lemor saying to say is they would say always the next two words, Ashira Lashem. That's how Moshe learns the pasuk, because that extra Lemor, what's going on? So they all said it by method of hearing Moshe say it and they listened. That's they all said it. Lemor to say, they would say the next two words as the refrain, Ashira Lashem, for the entire one. That's the way Rabbi Akiva learns the pasuk. Rabbi Lezer, Beno, Shabbi Yosak, Lili Sovar? No. He says they repeated every clause. Lay more, the lay more was, Akol Milsa Milsa, on every single phrase that Moshe said. So, Vayomer, they said the entire thing, but lay more as a response to Moshe. Vayomer, they said the whole thing, but it didn't work by them spontaneously saying it all. It was lay more, they would to say after Moshe Rabbeinu, would be to say. That's how he learned to say. They repeated it. Now, the real problem is Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah says they all said it together, but they waited for Moshe to start. Rabbi Nechemiah saw, Rabbi Nechemiah says, Vayomru, when it says Vayomru, Da'amar Kulabara, they all said it at the same time, in unison. Then what's the Lemor? Lemor to say means, Deposach Moshe Beresha. Moshe began first, authorizing people to join. According to him, Vayomru means they all said it together, but lay more only after Moshe gave him permission to say. When he would start, then they would continue along with him. So those are the three ways. Let's repeat it. The problem is it says Vayomru and they said lay more to say, which is redundant. So Rabbi Akiva learns like this. Vayomru means they all said it. Not that they all said it. They all got credit for saying it. Moshe said it for all of them. Lemor to say, what did they to say was? Those very chapter headings of the next two words, Ashira Lashem, that's what the Jews actually said. The next rabbi says, Vayomru, they all said it, but Lemor, when Moshe said it first, and they repeated it after him, Lemor to say, they would repeat clause after clause. Vayomru, they all said it spontaneously together, but Lemor, only after Moshe gave him permission to start every clause, after he began a clause, they would say the clause afterwards. Okay? That is the machlokas. Good? So there's three ways to learn it. So again, so I'm sure there'll be deeper commentary saying, so what actually happened? What actually happened? So that, you know, is always an interesting discussion because it doesn't seem that there's any, really has no halachic ramification. Could say maybe it was three different groups may have been involved, you know. Let's say, for example, you had the Erev Rav with them, the non-Jews who converted because they want to be on the winning side. I don't know if Hashem gave them divine inspiration. Unlikely. It's not likely, you know, they didn't suffer the whole time they were in Egypt. So they could say that they just said Ashira Lashem, you know, like Lahavdol, you go to the Baptist church, and they all go, hallelujah, the Rebbe says, hallelujah, hallelujah, you know. So everyone can say Ashir Lashem. Everyone can say Ashir Lashem. So at minimum, there were those who said Ashir Lashem. And then we could say there are different levels beyond that. All right, now that we're on the topic of the Song of the Sea, the rabbis are going to bring a few interesting concepts of that happened there. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi said, Dorash Rabbi Yosef Glim. Rabbi Yosef Glim made the following drasha. He says, "B'shar she'ol Yisrael min hayom, when the Jewish people came out of the sea, nosnu einayim lo mashira, they set their sights to sing the song. V'keitzad omer, and how did they say it? Listen to this. Not only did the adults sing, but who also? But also, olel muto al birkeim, an infant resting on his mother's knees, also sang it. V'tinok Yonek Mishema, and a suckling baby nursing from his mother, said the Shira. How's this? Kiv and Sharos, the Shechina, once they saw the Shechina, Olel, the little baby, Higbiat Savari, picked up his neck, Vitinok, and the baby who was nursing, Shama Todmi Piv, he released the breast from his mouth, for Amru, and they said, Zekeli Vanvehu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. Now, look at this. This accords with the opinion of Nehemiah, who maintains that each and every Jew was divinely inspired to recite the song that the Torah records. Here we learn that this includes even babies, infants described as an older child than suckling, based on whatever. They said it as well. A miracle. The ability to speak was, listen, it's prophecy, it's prophecy. And what's his source? Shenemar, because there's a verse that is in Tehillim that says, Mipi Olalim V'yonkim, out of the mouths of infants and sucklings, Yisadetaos, you have established might. Os, might. Might is a reverence to the song of the song of the sea, which is a celebration of God's might. It says over there, Oziv Ezim Yisyah V'yihil Yishua. The might and vengeance of God was salvation for me. That's what Dovid HaMelech says. Declaration, you have established might, refers to the fact that God inspired the Jews to sing a song, but it says, from the mouths of Olim and Yonkim, from the mouths of babes and sucklings. So it says, even babes and sucklings said that. Okay, now it goes even a step further. Hoya Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir says, Minayin, how do you know Shafilu Ubrim Shmeima, Omer Shur? How do you know that even a fetus inside a mother's womb sung the song? Now, how are they going to sing the song? The same way, I guess, they learn Torah the whole time they're in the mother's womb, right? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, going on to the next page. Shenemar, as it says. One second. Bimakelos borchu Elokim Hashem Mimkor Yisrael. That's another Pasuk in Psalms. In assemblies, bimakelos means assemblages. Bless God, Hashem, from the source of Israel. Mi makor, source. The word makor can mean source, but a person's source is the womb he comes from. So we learn that when the Jews were assembled at the sea, a blessing went forth even from those in the womb. Okay, now, interesting. Rabbi Meir and Yosef are not in dispute, for Yosef expounded that infants and sucklings joined in the song. He did not mean to exclude the unborn. They were meant to deduce that even a child who was in the midst of nursing released the breast from his mouth to sing. Okay, so it is not a machlokas. So now you see that even little the fetuses also sang. So now there's a bracket. Some say the bracket, some does. We'll just say it. Gemara wonders how, but how could an unborn fetus say, "This is my God"? An unborn fetus, like an infant and a suckling, could see the Shekhinah. How could a fetus see the Shekhinah? Rav Tamchon says, look at this. Keres nasum kaspakler mirror. The mother's abdomen became like a clear glass for them to see. Right? So therefore, they're able to see through it. Our Gemara thus means that at the splitting of the sea, even the unborn fetus of Israel were granted a prophetic vision comparable to that of Moshe. Right? So certainly this vision was granted to the born as well. Okay, according to Maral, Rav Meir does not mean that the unborn actually spoke, nor does Rabbi Yossi mean that the infants and sucklings spoke. And Maral asks the obvious question, since technically this can't happen. Right? Inasmuch as the song was an expression of Israel's recognition of its maker and desire to cleave to him. Rabbi Yosef Meir teaches that even the infant sucklings and fetuses, each in its own manner, joined in recognizing and yearning for closeness with him. Yosef's comment, the infant raised up its neck and suckling released the breast from its mouth, means allegorically that even the very young, who were totally dependent upon their mothers, turned away from them and focused on the true provider. Remember, a little baby could think that only the mother takes care of it. So Hashem gave the little baby the divine insight to know that even what? Hashem takes care of them. Okay, good place to stop. And tomorrow we're going to